I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting this
time. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the A-League Hour. My name is Jordan Giffins. Alongside me is the infamous and seductive Jake White. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Jordan?
I am absolutely riveting on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. Jake, this is episode 18 of the A-League Hour. We've been doing this for 18 weeks now, which is an absolute pleasure to be doing it, I guess. We haven't got that much to talk about today, Jake, do we?
We don't, really.
What's news in the A-League? Not much at all. Obviously, we'll talk about last weekend's fixtures.
Obviously,
and we'll talk about this weekend's fixtures. We might touch on the Asian Champions League, because that was last week as well. And we'll talk about this week's Asian Champions League. But, yeah, it's been pretty dull at the moment in the A-League, hasn't it? Not much going on.
There's only so much you can do when first and third is separated by 19 points.
Yeah, it's really a hot race to the top of the table. That top two race, though, isn't totally over.
We'll find out more next week about that.
Yes, find out more next week. Until then.
I'm on nice. Top of the world, eh?
Oh, man, imagine. We're obviously going to talk about more stuff. But we'll kick things off. We'll cast our minds back to Friday night here, Jake, when Sydney FC travelled down to Melbourne to get back on track after their first loss of the season last week. And get back on track, they did. Bobo opened the scoring in the 24th minute from the penalty spot. I can't even remember if it was a clear penalty or not, to be honest.
It was Manny Muscat. Absolutely ruined him.
Oh, Manny Muscat. We'll talk more about him soon. Big Fitzy Fitzgerald from Melbourne City. And
very good goal.
Thunderbolting one from 18 yards, volleyed it into the top left-hand corner, which was ruining stuff for Melbourne City. They actually did pretty well in the first half, but after half-time, after going down to 10 men, it was all Sydney. Brandon O'Neill scored another free kick. That's about his second or third this season. So he's done well in that regard. He's a very good young central defensive midfielder. Bobo then scored in the 67th minute. Customary goal for Sydney FC. Ninkovic did all the hard yards in that goal, and it was good to see Bobo score too. I love his name. Sydney back on the winners list. 3-1 winners. More shots, more possession. The better team, especially, like I said, after City went down to 10 men through Manny Muscat. I have no idea what he was thinking. He played centre-back. He's not normally a centre-back. So who knows why they played in centre-back when they had Tongik on the bench.
This really makes no sense at all.
But he did play centre-back, and, you know, I don't think he'd have any complaints about his two yellow cards. His second yellow card, people I saw saying it was a soft yellow. Are you shitting me? He's running through on goal and he just holds him back, drags him down, and the people are saying that's not a yellow.
It could have been a straight red.
Exactly. And I don't even know. I mean, he shouldn't have done it. There was like cover for him. But Sydney FC were the better team, especially in the second half, like I said. And well done to them to get back on the winners list in a game that could have gone either way pre-game. Looking at it, we thought City might do enough to get the victory, but Sydney obviously showing their class, getting the 3 points.
Oh yeah, well I definitely thought the City were going to win, and I still thought the exact same when it was 1-1 when Nick Fitzgerald equalised. I thought the City were going to get the win, but as does with many teams in football, which is understandable, the red card completely turned the game on its head, and Sydney really didn't look too phased after that. On the balance of play up till the red card as well, I think City were the better team. So, yeah, like I said, the red card definitely did turn the game on its head. And again, not taking anything away from Sydney, though, they deserve the 3 points. And I guess City, it's a matter of their discipline again, realistically. Like, you look at Musket's red card, realistically, it's a stupid red card to get so early in the game as well. Like, he's put his team under so much pressure and they've had to go out and play roughly 50 minutes with 10 men against a team that's already putting enough pressure on them and is already good enough when they're playing against 11 men, and now you're playing against them with 10. Don't really rate your chances of that. And, yeah, like, nothing against City either. They did play reasonably well. They had their chances, but at the end of the day, if you've got a centre-back doing stupid stuff like that and basically ruining your chances of fighting for the top two single-handedly like that, then you've only got yourself to blame. And discipline has been a massive issue for City this season, and I guess it's cost them again. Because, like I said, like you said as well, I have no idea why Tom Nick is starting on the bench and why Manny Musket's starting centre-back. Obviously, he's a much better centre-back than Musket, so that doesn't make any sense in the slightest to me. Because I don't even rate Manny Musket as it is. I didn't rate him at Wellington, don't rate him at City. He's not a great player, so I don't really know what he's doing in a starting team for a team that wants to challenge for the title. But obviously, Jakobsen being injured isn't obviously helping them too much. But at the same time, like, you've got to take the good with the bad. Every team does get injuries, and Sydney's had injuries this season. Victory have had injuries and suspensions this season. And they've dealt with it, and they're both clear top two by an absolute country mile. So teams like City, who are the richest team in A-League history and everything like that, should be able to deal with it too as well. And it's disappointing from their sake, and they should be very disappointed in the way that they performed at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's laughable that one of the backup CBs is Manny Musket. But I just want to touch on Bobo. He scored, twice this game. He had a very good game. Obviously, customarily, scores from the penalty spot. Most of his goals have been from the penalty spot. But his second goal, class finish, great ball from Ninkovic. He's now up to 10 goals for the season, which is equal fifth in the Golden Boot race. But for some reason, he's sort of flying a bit under the radar. I don't know if it's because he hasn't really been performing as well as an import should, or I don't know, because I mean, like, he's been good, obviously. He scored 10 goals. But I don't know, he sort of just hasn't really captured the headlines. I mean, to be honest, I thought this was the best game he played this season. He did score two, which I don't think he's done yet this season. Maybe he has on one different occasion. But I don't know, I think he's just sort of been a bit iffy for me. But, you know, his obvious second goal showed his class. He's had a good career. He's playing in the team on top of the table. So, I mean, he must be doing something right, but yeah, it's just a bit of a weird one for me. I'm not too sure.
No, he's a weird one. Like, it's like, I think he's one of those players. Like, I don't know. He's like, he just floats around a little bit, really. He doesn't really do much. he just floats around. He doesn't really do a lot. And, like, I think he's one of those players that every team needs, though. Like, he's not exactly one that grabs headlines and stuff, but he just sits there and does a job, I guess. And, like, I think he compliments players like Holosko a lot, because I didn't rate Holosko last season for Sydney FC, but this season Holosko has been very good for him. And obviously Ninkovic is one of the best players in the league, and I think they're much better off having a centre-forward like Bobo rather than a centre-forward like Berisha or a McLaren or something like that, who can run off the ball and break into space and take on five players and finish it. Like, he's more, give me the ball in the 18-yard box and I'll put it in the back of the net sort of player. And it's not a bad thing, obviously, to have, but I feel like if Sydney, just say he did get an injury, obviously I wouldn't wish an injury upon someone, but if he did get an injury, I think Sydney would be very stretched, because they're not going to, like, obviously Matt Simon's not going to come in and put a shift in like Bobo does.
Blackwood.
But, like, he's actually decent, in all fairness. But, like, I don't know. Like, he's not exactly an import that's going to create headlines, and he's going to go out. He's not going to go out and win a Golden Boot. But like, he's one of those players. He could score, like, the winner in the grand final. And he could grab headlines in that way, like Enrique did. Like, Enrique was, like, a living legend in Brisbane because he didn't really do much, but he scored 8, 9, 10 goals a season and scored the important goals, scored a winner in the grand final twice. Like,
yeah.
He's not going to be the best player in Sydney's team. He's not going to be in any team of the seasons and stuff like that. But I think he's been a reasonably good signing for Sydney.
He's not going to be in any team of the seasons, you reckon?
Pardon?
He's not going to be in any team of the seasons, you reckon?
Nah.
If you had to name two strikers right now to play to be a team of the season, who would it be?
That would be... Well, it depends on what formation the team of the season would be. If I had to name two right now, I would have Fornaroli and Berisha.
Fornaroli?
Yeah. I know he hasn't had a fantastic season, but that's because last season he scored 20-plus goals. I think he's never going to do that again. But I feel like Fornaroli still does a lot more off the ball than any other striker in the league.
It's an interesting predicament, Fornaroli. This game, he wasn't involved too much. So he's been a bit weird this season. Like, you're right, he scored 20-plus last season. He scored 13 this season. He's second in the Golden Boot. But it almost just seems like he's a shadow of his former self. And I don't know if that's because Tim Cahill's come in, stolen the headlines, yeah, or he's just not linking up as well, or his role has been somewhat subdued because of Cahill. But he's still second in the Golden Boot. But you look at players like as well, like McLaren. McLaren's third in the Golden Boot. Has he had a good season? Not really. So it's like, I don't know. Like, personally, like, I mean, I wasn't asked a question, but if I had to name two strikers right now, I'd say Berisha and Taggart. And that's just because Taggart's come in and I think he's been really good. But he's come in equal. He's got the same amount of goals as Bobo. So, I don't know. Interesting.
It's going to be interesting. Like, obviously, I reckon Berisha will win the Golden Boot, but it's going to be interesting to see. Like, if you were to have in the team of the season have two strikers, it's going to be interesting to see, like, who would fight for that second spot. Like, I say Fornaroli right now, but basically I said Fornaroli just because I was looking at the Golden Boot and he had 13 goals.
Yeah.
But, like, realistically, he's probably not been the most fantastic striker and stuff.
Well, you can look down further. You could make a claim for players like Krishna. His early season form was outrageous. O'Donovan, who's the service at Central Coast, hasn't been amazing. He's obviously playing in a team second bottom, and he scored 10. And Brosk has been on another level from what we've seen him in recent times. So
you only have to look back to a few seasons ago, though. Nathan Burns won the Johnny Warren medal off playing, like, 7 or 8 good games at the start of the season. So you don't need to really do much for the whole season to be considered having a good season. So that Krishna shout's also a decent shout.
We
both know
how we think about Nathan Burns these days. if you've been listening to our one and only Socceroos podcast, you will know exactly how we feel about Nathan Burns. And you guess
or if you follow us on Twitter during Socceroos games.
Yep, or if you listen to our next Socceroos podcast when the team gets released. And he's probably going to be in there. Oh boy, not happy. We'll move on to the next game. Brisbane Roar hosted Wellington Phoenix. This is a somewhat didn't surprised result. All. Yeah, I mean, you could state the claim that Brisbane had, you know, Asian commitments, you know, during the week and... had a heavy schedule over the last few weeks and stuff like that, so I'm not sure. But basically, Phoenix went there and played really, really well. Smeltz opened the scoring in the 32nd minute before Krishna, who we were just talking about, scored his first goal in a while, to be fair, in the 61st minute. Brandon Borrello then scored in the 75th minute. Great goal from him, who's really starting to come into his sort of form in the A-League, bringing his Asian Champions League form into it, which is good to see. But Wellington Phoenix, too good. Same amount of shots. Brisbane had more possession. Glenn Moss was forced into a few very good saves. But Wellington Phoenix going up to Brisbane and getting a massive result for them to keep them in that sort of finals play for the finals. It's pretty interesting. And Phoenix, obviously, not very good travellers. Brisbane, very good at home. I think we both penciled this down for about a 4 or 5 nil win for Brisbane, but certainly the opposite to that, Jake.
Yeah, well, I definitely didn't expect this. Wellington don't have a horrible team, but they're just one of those. It's just one of those ones for Wellington this season where the players on the team sheet just aren't really linking together, and the manager's changed obviously and stuff. But when sometimes it clicks, I guess. And we've always said this in this podcast that Brisbane have some have terrific home form, and they're not too good away from home. And similar to Wellington, sort of, Wellington aren't exactly a team you like travelling to, but when you play against them at home, you usually back your team to win. And yeah, it just didn't really add up to me, the fact that Wellington came out and got 3 points. Like I said, sometimes when it clicks, and they're not going to complain with the 3 points, but I think Brisbane definitely treat this as 3 points dropped, because I reckon everyone went into this game thinking Brisbane would get the win, and now they're sitting back in fifth place. So right now, if the season ended, they're not getting a home final, which is very big for Brisbane, because although they lost this one, I still rate them as a very, very good team at home. And if they're playing a final at home, I'd rate them to win it. So it's a bad loss for Brisbane, a very good win for Wellington. They played very well, and I watched the first half, and they were dominant, and they deserved the win from what I watched. But yeah, Brisbane definitely wouldn't be too happy with this. And I guess it does play into hands with the Champions League schedule too, because the three teams in the Champions League, Western Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide, they all lost their A-League games this week. So I guess that could play into a fair amount of part to it. But at the same time, when you look at the team that Brisbane did put out, they didn't exactly put out a second-string lineup as such. Like, they had a young lad that was at centre back, but other than that, they had basically their best 11 on the pitch, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
it's a weird one for them.
Their team was probably missing maybe two players of that. Obviously, exactly. You mentioned Crestani played centre back. He's a very highly touted centre back as well. Like, and I thought he wasn't too bad, if I'm honest, but. And obviously, Coletti played CDM, probably not first choice CDM, but he's certainly getting close to it. But I want to touch on Jamie McLaren. We mentioned him before, how he's coming third in the Golden Boot, regardless of his season. I think it's been pretty below par for him. Yeah. This game, we're just looking at the statistics from this game, the player statistics. He made 7 passes and had 1 shot on goal. How long did he play? He got subbed off in the... where is he?
In the 70th minute.
70th minute. So he played 70 minutes. He averaged 1 pass every 10 minutes and made 1 shot in 70 minutes of football against the Wellington Phoenix at home. I don't know...
And I read something that he covered the least amount of ground from the 10 outfield players.
Yeah.
Joey Cadavy in 20 minutes covered more ground than what McLaren did in the 70 minutes.
Yeah, I think that kind of says it all, really. You've got, you know, obviously we both rate Joey Cadavy, and I've got a lot of raps for him, and
that was fucking at Victory. Victory sold him.
Yeah. He's banging him in for fun in the NPL and the National Youth League. Wouldn't he won the Golden Boot in the NPL too?
Yeah, by about fucking 8 goals.
Yeah, so he massive raps, probably just didn't fit the system, must get wanted, but, you know, that is what it is. But right there you can see a player who, his head's not in it. He's,
you know,
I'm pretty sure he's pretty happy, or he's pretty set on leaving the club at the end of the season, I think is what's going to happen. Whether that's to another A-League club, or whether that's to Europe. Personally, I think he can go to Europe and do really well. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him move to a team like Victory. But you never know. But right there, you can see a player that's... His head's not in it. And then, like you said, Cadavian comes on, covers the same amount of distance. That's a player that wants to show the boss that he can play. He wants to take his chance by the scruff of the neck. And he did. Realistically, he got an assist in the 20 minutes he was on the pitch. So... You know, he's done well, but you know, I'm just not sure Jamie McLaren really wants to be there. I honestly think if he leaves, he'll do well, but I don't think he really fits the system at Brisbane at the moment either. I think they're kind of big on crossing this season, and he's not the biggest guy, so he's not going to win too many headers. But yeah, it's
he's got to get his head into it.
Yeah.
Because right now, and it's bad to say, I don't want to say it because I rate him highly and I think he's a future Socceroo striker and stuff. But right now, I wouldn't have him in my Socceroo squad for the games that are coming up for the Socceroos. I wouldn't have him in my Socceroo squad. You can't reward a player like that. If his head's not in it in club form, you can't reward a player with a Socceroos call-up. Because he's scoring the odd goal here and there. But what if he goes and represents his country and plays with the exact same mentality? What's that going to say to Ange Postecoglou? Yeah. And it's bad because he's got to get his head into it too, because then he won't be selected for the Confederations Cup. And the Confederations Cup's going to be huge because I reckon a fair few young-ish A-League players that are killing it this season and will get into, like, potentially the team of the season for the A-League and stuff like that, they could be rewarded with a trip with Australia to the Confederations Cup.
And if McLaren... the likes of, you know, Germany and Chile and...
yeah, and we've got the friendly against Brazil here as well. Like, he's got the chances with that squad is to verse some of the best nations in the world. And right now, I wouldn't have him in that squad because apparently Juric is doing reasonable enough overseas. Obviously, Cahill's probably going to be in the squad. Nathan Burns probably has Ange Postecoglou's daughter's nudes or something like that. So he'll manage to find a way into the squad. So then what? Where does that leave McLaren? I rate McLaren and I think he's a top player and he should be walking into the Socceroos squad in my opinion. But if he's not performing, how do you pick him?
You shouldn't. And that's fair enough. And I think he needs to understand that, yes, he wants to leave, but the opportunity at the moment, the World Cup qualifiers, the Confederations Cup, the friendly with Brazil, and potential friendly with Argentina, because they're going to come down as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
He needs to understand that he needs to perform for Brisbane now, and if he wants to move, he's not going to get another opportunity to show that he deserves a spot in the Socceroos until next season at a new club, which is after the Confederations Cup and after the World Cup qualifiers for this stage and after the friendly with Brazil and potential friendly with Argentina.
Exactly.
So and he's not going to be able to show Ange Postecoglou that his head's in it, that he's going to perform well enough to be in the Socceroos unless he performs now for Brisbane.
Exactly. And what if the Confederations Cup, so like, well, obviously we're not going to win the Confederations Cup, we're versing some insane nations, but what if in the Confederations Cup, the players kill it in training, they play reasonably well and put in some good shifts for the nation, play against Brazil and maybe Argentina, play really well with the same squad. What if, and then we've got the World Cup 12 months later, and all those players, Ange Postecoglou wouldn't pick any player in the squad for the Confederations Cup and stuff that wouldn't be able to play in the World Cup a year later. Yeah. And the squad for the Confederations Cup is the same size as the squad for the World Cup. So if the, all those 23 players...
be if this World Cup was for the Confederations Cup, it's most likely that cup that squad he takes to the Confederations Cup, it would be the World Cup squad at that point in time.
Exactly. So he could be even... like, it's bad to think about it, but right now he could even be ruining his chances to be part of the World Cup squad. And like I said just then, he should be walking into the Socceroos team right now, and that's what But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to walk into it instead of trying to earn it.
I like that. We could talk for a very long time about that topic, and we did because we're already 24 minutes into the podcast. We've covered two games. But yeah. Hopefully, you know, just to finish that sort of discussion, hopefully he does kick on, gets his head right for the rest of the season. Six games to go. If he can bang in, you know,
goals. Like, Brisbane have a squad that could do anything. Like, he could get his head right this week and he could come out, bang six goals in six games, go into the finals and single-handedly win Brisbane a few games in the finals. Like, you never know. He's a player that could do that, but he's got to get his head right, I guess.
The ball's in his court. If he gets that right, he could be anything. But, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah. If he sinks six goals in six games, he finishes the season with 17 goals.
And that's almost better than last season.
Yeah. And we're sitting here saying he's having a shit season. And, exactly. Yeah, he falls too short. But, you know, he's got to do that first before we can really say anything.
Yeah.
we'll kick on. Victory hosted Adelaide in the original rivalry here at Amy Park. Marco Rojas, 66th minute. Worldie of a goal. Free kick. Who knew he could hit free kicks? What do you now? Bessart Berisha in the 82nd minute. Another clinical goal. Pretty much Berisha-esque. I don't know how he got that much curve on that outside of the foot shot. It was pretty sick. Tarek Elrich then scored a decent goal. I put that down to probably bad defending from Guerrier, but good finish, alas, from a fullback. He could have scored two, actually, two worldies in this game. He had one shot from range that just went wide. But victory. Held on, 2-1 win. Deserved. They forced keeper Margwish into a fair few decent saves, had more possession. Lawrence Thomas wasn't too tested. He had a couple nice saves, but apart from that, victory also hitting the woodwork. And yeah, victory, I think, would be happy with this one. Adelaide weren't too bad, to their credit. They didn't look like a team on the bottom of the table. So a bit of an upward sort of performance from them based on the rest of the season. But nonetheless, a good win for victory, and a win you've expected victory would have got pre-game as well.
Yeah, well, I definitely expected us to get 3 points, but Adelaide were a lot, like you said, a lot better than a last place team. And I think that's what Adelaide usually do against victory too. Like, it's the old myth in football and stuff that teams always turn up for derbies, and like, this is their derby. So I always expected a reasonably tough game. And they played well, to be fair to them. And I wouldn't say they deserve something from the game, because I think Victory were the better team. But I feel like if they were playing against a team like City or Brisbane or something like that, they play like that, then they would get something out of the game. A completely different style of play to the team that lost 5-0 to Perth a few weeks ago as well. So well done to them. Hopefully they can take that form into some Champions League form as well. But yeah, I think we're reasonably good. The keeper that was in for Adelaide played really well as well and kept them in the game for some patches. I think we probably should have gone up 3 or 4-0, but at the same time, Adelaide had a few good chances too. So it was a weird game because there was a lot around, including myself too, there was a lot of Victory fans around me. We're getting very nervous around the hour mark, thinking that we weren't going to break down Adelaide and get a goal, which is frustrating, but obviously Rojas and Berisha eased those little stress points. It was a good 3 points, but at the same time, it's not exactly a game that many people are going to look back on at the end of the season.
Yeah. You mentioned that keeper played well. They actually played him ahead of John Hall. Interestingly enough, I'm not sure if that's a form-based thing or just want to give other players a chance. But
I've heard it's had something to do with his, like, apparently he's not pulled up too well from his concussion when he decided to diving header into a post last week.
Well, I think after that performance, I can't see John Hall replacing Margish, because I feel like John Hall wouldn't have done that well, because personally, don't rate him that highly. Interesting if you say it didn't pull up from his concussion too well, if he's still made the bench, so...
Yeah, and he still played, and he played midweek. Now, that was what the Fox Sports commentator said, that they said that he, apparently they've put him on the bench because he's, like, not training too well after his concussion or some shit like that, so... I'm not going to read too much into it. I reckon he'll be fine, but at the same time, it's a bit odd that he still played midweek in the Champions League too.
I just want to mention Karuska.
Mm-hmm.
He was omitted from Adelaide's Champions League squad, interestingly, because he is a player who has Europa League and Champions League experience, UEFA Champions League, not even Asian Champions League. He has that as well, though. He was a big part of them qualifying for the Champions League. So, interesting that he didn't actually get in the squad. You still consider him one of their best players, but obviously with that injury earlier in the season, surgery, missing a lot of the season at the start, might have played a part. But in my opinion, he probably is, arguably one of their best players. So, it's interesting that they didn't name him in the squad.
Yeah, definitely. surprise me as well. Because like I rate him as their best player, so I don't know why he's not in the squad, but I guess they think that there's other players that are better suited to the role, I guess. Because I don't really know any other reason as to why they'd leave him out of the squad.
Well, the players that they named, I'm trying to find that here. Sirio was one of them. Baba Diawara was another, who they actually named the squad when he was in a different country. I think Portugal. And they named him in the squad without him even coming to training. So that's interesting. I think the last one was Isaias, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a tough one for Kruskar because those three good players, obviously. I haven't seen much of DOR yet, but he's got pretty good raps. But obviously they can only name the three, and it's unfortunate for him, but it is what it is, and he's just going to have to probably look for a new club, hey?
Yeah, probably.
He's already said he's been looking at different A-League options, so I don't know. It'd be good if he could stay on the A-League, good player. But he is, you know, 32 years old, 33 years old, so... Yeah, I don't know. Perth Glory, they hosted Western Sydney Wanderers and were expected to get to the victory against the Wanderers, and they did. So Harold in the 47th minute, with a stroke of luck, scored a deflected goal from 18 yards out. Massive deflection. He got credit of the goal still, so it is what it is. Joel Chianese scored his first goal for Perth in the 94th minute. I didn't even know he played for Perth, to be honest. and wrapped up the 2-0 win. Perth, in my opinion, were dominant. Way more shots. Same amount of possession. West Sydney hit the woodwork twice, though. So, certainly not out of reach for them. But, yeah, Nijanovic was forced into a lot of good saves. Reddy, don't think he was forced into a save. But, yeah, Perth continue their barnstorming run this sort of second half of the season. I think they've scored the most or the second most points of any team in 2017. So it's pretty good for their part. They're into third at the moment. They're a point above City and Brisbane at Raw. And right now, they're sitting on a home final against Western Sydney if the season ended right now, which obviously they'll win because they just beat them 2-0. So that's big for them. And, you know, there's two teams in the finals right now. In that sort of elimination final bracket, that at home are two of the best home teams in the league, and that's Brisbane and Perth, and they both potentially could end up having a home final in the first league of finals. So,
yeah, they've been away from home, they're both shambolic, so then that makes it easier for Sydney and victory.
Yeah. I think either way, I think victory and Sydney are going to be in the grand final, but it is what it is.
Oh, I hope so, buddy. Yeah, Perth deserve 3 points. They're a very good team, and I'm not surprised I had them finishing fourth this season. So I definitely went into this season thinking they were going to be good. On paper, they have a fantastic squad. And like I said last week as well, it's good for their sake to see that their squad on paper is starting to gel together, because obviously it wasn't at the start of the season. But now Rhys Williams is proving he's one of the best centre-backs in the league. Keo, Taggart and Castro are performing every single week. And Risden is starting to get back to some decent form as well. Reddy's obviously been really, really good for them between the sticks as well. So it's very good for them because they're definitely a team that should be challenging for a home final this season. And I think they will get that home final now. So it's good for them. And Western Sydney's still in that weird patch where they're playing fantastic 1 week and they're obviously beating Sydney FC, but then the next week they're not playing fantastic and they're looking like a team that probably won't play, probably aren't even finals worthy. So, yeah, they're sort of a weird team at the moment, Western Sydney. I think they will finish sixth, but they're definitely not clear of that right now, so they definitely need to get some wins on the board. And it's going to be more difficult for them now, obviously, since they've got Champions League to deal with too. So it's going to be an interesting end to the season for Western Sydney.
I just want to touch on Rhys Williams. I do believe he played almost a defensive midfield role, free-roaming defensive midfield role, this game. I thought he was one of the best players on the pitch, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, he's going to get a mention from me later on.
I've actually opted not to give him a mention today. He gives a slight. He came in a close fourth. I thought he was really good. He was really good on the ball. He actually looked like an attacking midfielder on the ball, to be honest.
He's very good. He is a class player. And I said at the start of the season that he'll... I said at the start of the season he'll be defender of the season. Obviously, he had that patch where he wasn't even playing and he was linked to go to Sydney and stuff, but it's good to see him back playing. He's got his head screwed on. Sort of similar to a McLaren sort of situation where he just needed to, like, get his head screwed on and then he'd prove how good he is. Like, he could sit there right now, Williams, and dominate the rest of the season with how he did it has in the last few weeks. He could dominate the rest of the season and he could find himself in the Socceroos squad.
Yeah.
So I think he's definitely looking at that Socceroos squad, thinking that he could sneak away into that, and he's got to get his head screwed on. And he's done that. Well done to him. And he now is proving how good he is. And I think that right now, I could even sliding him to the Socceroos squad that'll be announced in a few weeks if he keeps this up.
Oh, I would. I definitely would. Their play's been great, Perth. There's been a lot of made of that performance against Adelaide, that 5-0 win. How you came out and said that was the best performance any team's shown all season. It somewhat seems like they keep taking that sort of performance into every week. Obviously, they didn't have a performance of that calibre against Western Sydney, but there were just certain plays in the game and just moments where they just tore them apart, one-touch or two-touch passing through the middle, just destroying teams. And they didn't score from it. I think there was one opportunity that Taggart had potentially that they literally, I think Rhys Williams was involved as well, where there was just one touch that threw the middle and came up with that opportunity. And no team's going to stop that. The Sydney's not going to stop that. If they can produce that sort of play against them, they're a sneaky chance against anyone on their day. And they're third on the table for a reason, but you would fancy them at home against anyone, realistically. So, you know, it could be interesting in the finals if they could come up with those performances away from home, which they're all likely going to have to do. But yeah, Perth, for me, like, obviously we both had them, you know, definite finals contenders and top 3-4 end of the season. And despite the shaky start, it looks like they're probably going to finish third. So, good on them. We'll move on to the last game, the F3 Derby. Newcastle Jets hosting Central Coast Mariners in this one. Coco scored his first goal in a Newcastle shirt this season. What a marquee. In the 20th minute, Scotty Galloway, in the 50th minute, scored a really good goal for a wingback with his weak foot. And that was that. Izzo made a couple of good saves, as did the fill-in keeper for Newcastle, Akaba? I don't know how to say his name. I have no idea about him. I think he's like 30 years old now. Used to be... like a Australian youth international or something like that. But I don't know. This game could have gone either way. I think Newcastle were probably the better team in this one. They had a few more shots than Central Coast. Central Coast dominated possession, as they tend to be doing for most parts this season. They love being on the ball. But I think Newcastle probably had the better of the chances in this game and would be kicking themselves. They didn't quite get the victory in a game that would have propelled them into the top five. Or top six, so. So, unfortunate for them, but a good point for Central Coast, and they keep themselves in calculations for the top six, Jake.
Yeah, this derby just seems to do my head in a little bit. Because they're both teams that I've really enjoyed watching this season. But I think it's the last six derbies or something that's been played at Hunter Stadium ended in a draw. And it's just... like, and it's weird for Newcastle as well because Central Coast have obviously been reasonably shambolic over the last two seasons before this season. So to not be beating Central Coast at home in the last two seasons is a bit average for them. But yeah, I don't know. It was a very good game in my opinion. I enjoyed watching it. Like I said, I've enjoyed watching both these teams this season. It's good to see Central Coast take over 1,000 fans to the game too, but yeah, it's just one of those ones where you sort of wanted I didn't really care who, but I sort of just wanted one team to win it. I didn't really care who it was because I want to see one of these teams in the finals. But yeah, they just couldn't break. Neither of them could just break through in the end. I think Central Coast Star just a little, like, I know they're only 4 points off, but I think they're just a little bit too far off to make the finals this year. But Newcastle are right there as well. They've got Wellington pressing on them too, so it would have been a very big win for Newcastle if they had got the 3 points. But I guess they had to share the spoils again, Jordan.
I was just having a look at the crowd attendances. I couldn't find a crowd figure for this game.
There was like just under 10,000.
Yeah, it was not too bad.
Yeah,
for that stadium anyway. I don't know. They're two very exciting teams to watch. I want both, but one of them to be in the finals, if not both. They probably won't both get there though. It looks likely they'll probably both miss out at this stage. But it'd be nice. It'd be nice to have a young, exciting team on a Newcastle or Central Coast make it through. Preferably Central Coast, I reckon, just because I prefer watching them to Newcastle, in my opinion. But,
yeah.
You know, it's unlikely. They'll need to win a few more, and they've got a really tough run. So, if they do make it, they'll probably win the whole thing. Just looking at their run. Melbourne City, Sydney, Adelaide, Brisbane, Newcastle victory. I can maybe win two of those. but they probably won't. Yeah, it was, I was hoping it'd be a bit more of an exciting game.
Yeah, 100%.
But, you know, it is what it is.
What can you do, Jordan?
Honestly, you can't do anything, because we don't control these sort of things.
In FIFA, we do.
Yes, we do. Yes. Yeah, look, we won't cover anything more to do with that. We'll go through the table quickly, Jake. Because we can, because that's what we do here at JJ's Football Fix. Sydney FC sit atop...
Your home of everything EPL.
Sydney FC, they cracked the 50 points barrier this week with that win. They're in first position of victory, 42 points in second. Perth Glory, 31 points in third. Melbourne City in fourth. They have 30 points alongside Brisbane in fifth on 30 points. Western Sydney make up the top six on 24 points. Newcastle Jets in seventh and 22 points alongside Wellington, who have 22 and eighth. Central Coast slightly further back on 20 points in ninth. So there's still all a chance to make that finals spot. You'd think there's a four-team race for that sixth position. West Sydney headlined that. But Adelaide sit last on 14 points, three wins in their 21 games. The defending champions are very close to statistically being out of the finals race. But you never know what can happen. They could turn their season around now.
Football's a game of inches.
If they win 6 in 6, they get up to 30 points, and it would just mean Western Sydney. If they win two of their final six games, it means Adelaide couldn't make it. which is unfortunate for Adelaide. And considering Western Sydney have Adelaide in the next home game, it could go a long way, but you'd think home games, West Sydney.
Shut up, then.
They actually, they burst in the last game of the season. So, imagine if Adelaide just had to beat Western Sydney to make the finals. It's not going to happen, but just...
Not at all, not even slightly.
Football is mate, a Adelaide funny game. Done. Football's a funny game. You know, Adelaide could come out. I mean, they've got an okay
Shut up,
run.
They're not going to make finals.
They've got an okay run. I'm saying,
Jordan, I'll give you $10 if Adelaide win two games for the rest of the season.
Yeah, done.
They've won three in their first 21.
Yeah, but they've got Perth at home. They've got Western Sydney at home.
They just got done 5-0 by Perth at home.
Oh, did they get done at home, or did they?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I thought they got done away. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Guys, I'll be very surprised.
They've got Central Coast as well. Brisbane at home?
Central Coast are good. They've got Champions League too.
Yeah, they've got a game here against Jia and Jedge. Jingsu Sinning FC and Jeju United. Just a class game, isn't it? I have no idea who those teams are. Yeah, look, statistical leaders, Jake, we'll quickly cover that. Like we mentioned, Berisha, 17 goals, top of the golden boot. Fornaroli, 13, alongside McLaren, in 11, and Rojas has 11 as well. 10 goals each to Taggart, Bobo, Krishna, the Fijian monkey, and O'Donovan. In the assist department, Rojas and Ninkovic both have 10 assists each. Chrissy Harrold has 7. Brucey Kamau, James Troisi, and Mitch Nichols have 6 each for the season. In the saves department, Paul Izzo has 81 saves. Top. Dimas has the most passes with 1,301 for the season. Andrew Hall has the most crosses with 135. Andrew Hall also has the most chances created with 52. That's a decent stat. He's made more chances than Ninkovic, Rojas, Troisi, Finkler, Broich, Nichols, Chiastro, Marinkovic.
The whole league.
The whole league. Just naming some players. The most shots on goal this season, McLaren with 54, only converting 10 of those.
What about the golden flag, Jordan? The offsides?
I don't have that stat here.
Roy O'Donovan's on 30, leading all comers, and Borussia's on 25.
What an attack.
Incredible. Pardon?
What an attack. I'd love to know which defender has the most offsides. Do you think Ryan Grant, I reckon?
I'll try and find one for you.
What a guy. In the meantime, Jake, we'll kick things off with our Player of the Season award.
Yep, Ryan Grant has 6 offsides.
Is he actually the most?
Yeah.
The defenders? Yeah. Told ya. Yeah.
Issaias has 9 yellow cards.
Gee, what a thug. All right, let's go. Player of the Season, Jake. One vote. Who are you giving it to?
One vote goes to Reece Williams, big fella. He's an absolute beast. And he's been fantastic for Perth over the last few games, and he was terrific against Western Sydney, leading them to glory. See what I did there? Because yeah, place for Perth glory. Yeah.
I like that. I'm giving my singular vote today to Bobo after he scored a double. The second was Kalasi, and the first was a penalty, but still a good penalty. So get around Bobo, he gets the one vote.
He gets my 2 votes this week, Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah, 2 votes for 2 goals. He did very well, and he's proving that he is a reasonably good centre forward and is helping Sydney FC's chances to consolidate the premiership, Jordan.
The team of the season striker. What a guy. my 2 votes this week are going to the Perth Glory man, Diego Chiastro, for the 2 assists the 2 assists that he provided for Chrissy Harrold and Joel Chianese. He's been class all season. He was class again this week, and he ultimately gets my 2 votes, Jake.
My 3 votes, Jordan, go to the Kiwi Messi himself, Marco Rojas, getting a goal and an assist, and should have got another assist late-ish in the game. He was very good. He was back to his usual best after a few weeks where he didn't really do too much. And yeah, he gets my 3 votes for just having an all-round class game and keeping Victory's slim premiership chances alive.
Yeah, he gets my 3 votes as well. Dominant performance from the Kiwi Maradona. Yeah, I don't know.
That's terrific.
Guess who's a Chilean Maradona is?
Probably Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he handballed it.
Yeah. Guess who the Chilean Thierry Henry is?
Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah. Guess who the Argentinian Thierry Henry is?
The Argentinian?
Thierry Henry, yeah.
I don't know, probably Messi, because he's good.
Maradona.
Yeah, I probably should have picked up on that.
Guess who the French Maradona is?
Sylvain Distin.
Thierry Henry. yeah, imagine Sylvain Distin. The leaderboard for the JJ's Pool Fix A-League Player of the Season. Marco Rojas leads all comers, 25 votes for the season. He's just breaking away from the pack. Second place, Paul Izzo has 16 votes.
Oh, shit, Rojas is 9 points up.
Yes, more than the lead at the top of the table for Sydney FC. That's put in proportion.
Fun fact.
A little bit. Who's in third? Diego Castro and James Troisi have 14 votes each. To sit equal third, the next placing, Dejan Ninkovic, has 13 votes, and that's the top five. Get around it.
Really?
If you want to look even further, the players on double figures, Michael Theo has 11, Naboo has 10. How does Theo, I will never understand how Theo has 11 this season. He had like three games that were amazing.
He had two games where we both gave him 3 votes.
Well, we didn't, otherwise it would have been on 12 votes.
Yeah.
Was an 11.
JoJo's football maths.
I think we've actually stuffed it up. I'm pretty sure that's how it was. Yeah, interesting. All right, let's just kick on. And we'll quickly just, before we get into the next round, we'll quickly just touch on the ACL. Let's just review quickly exactly how the ACL went last week for the teams in the A-League. And it's not good viewing whatsoever. We'll start off with Adelaide. They hosted Gamba Osaka and lost 3-0. Jake, 21st minute, 46th minute, and 81st minute, the goals were scored. An own goal by McGowan in the 81st. What was your take on the game? Because I didn't watch this one because I knew they'd get fucking destroyed, and I was right. So, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
Statistically speaking, 14 shots to 7 in Gamba Osaka's way. Adelaide had more possession, but realistically, you know, it doesn't really mean too much if you can't convert that into goals or shots for that matter. Adelaide start off their campaign with a loss to the 2008 final replay winners, Osaka, I think it was. So,
there's more Champions League tonight. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, there's 2 games tonight. That's exciting. Adelaide's next game will come against Jiangsu Suning FC on Wednesday night. So that's exciting. That's tomorrow night, for those who are unaware of the times. Brisbane Roar did the best of the A-League teams, but somewhat. Was it the best?
they're the worst team in their group by more.
Yeah, they were the only team to get a point, but they did it against the worst team, Muangthong United. Look, this was a pretty a dull game. Brisbane were on the back foot, to be honest, for a lot of it. They had 59% possession, so there was nothing wrong with them having the ball. They were just caught on the break every single attack. Muangthong had 17 shots to 7, 6 of which were on target.
What a club.
Jamie Young made a fair few decent saves, as far as I remember. Brisbane Roar hit the woodwork, etc., etc. So, an interesting...
Who started during for Brisbane this week? That is Jamie Young and Michael Theo.
In the A-League?
Yeah.
I'll check. Theo.
This doesn't make sense. Jamie Young's doing so well.
I know.
Like, he's making some fantastic saves in Champions League. He pulled off some worldy saves to even get them into the Champions League. And they're still starting Theo in the league.
D'Agostino started up front for Brisbane. He's 18 years young. Big raps for him, actually. He was, I think...
yeah, he was all right.
I think he won the Golden Boot in the National Youth League, if I'm not mistaken. They also allowed starts for Dane Ingham, the wingback, who I think is also a winger, if I'm not mistaken. Crestani also started. He started in the league as well on the weekend. Apart from that, pretty similar team to what they normally put out. Jacob Pepper got a rare start.
Pretty salty.
Yeah. And Coletti, Broich and McLaren all came off the bench, so 3 very good subs there. All 3 of those started on the weekend against Phoenix and lost. I don't know what you thought of the game, Jake. I'm pretty sure. Well, I mean, they got a point, but a disappointing performance. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was one of those ones. Like, they should have won. Like, they should be beating this team, I think, quite easily. And they didn't, and I think I think if they were to get out of the group, this would be their best chance. Like, they needed to get 3 points from this game, because I think in the home fixtures, like in Champions League and like Europa League and Europe and stuff like that, like, you've got to win your home games and draw your aways, realistically. Like, you can obviously drop a few games here and there and still make it out of the group, but to make it easier for yourself, if you win your home games and draw your away games, you're through the group. But it's a big test on this, like, tonight as well. Like, if they can get a win tonight, then that completely turns it on its head. Like, they've got 4 points from two games, and they'll be flying. So, I think... And Brisbane's sort of a weird team. I don't think they've got a team that's worthy of making it out of the group. I don't think the team's as good as people make it out to be, but they're definitely still a chance, in my opinion. But it's just disappointing for their sake that they couldn't make the most of it, really.
Speaking of Brisbane, the next game tonight against Orson Hyundai is an actual interesting one, because Orson Hyundai, I'm trying to find out what their first round result was. They lost their first game. So, they lost 2-0 in their first game. I'm not sure who they're against. I think maybe like Shanghai or some shit. But interesting statistic here. Orson Hyundai are yet to win a home game against an Australian opposition in 3 attempts. They've lost 2 of those 3. They've been outscored in those games 4-1 across the 3 fixtures. And counteracting that one, Brisbane have won 2 of their last 3 games away from home in the Champions League, keeping clean sheets in each of those wins against URA, Red Diamonds, and Beijing Huan in that span.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah, they have not beaten a South Korean opposition and haven't kept a clean sheet in any of those 4 fixtures that they've played against them. So that's... It's going to be a tough game. Obviously, for Brisbane, let's hope they can get up. But if they don't, I mean, not all lost. They've obviously got 6 games in the group. But you'd think it's going to be tough for them to get out of the group, like you said, with the squad they have. We'll quickly touch on Western Sydney before we go into the preview for this week. They played URA Red Diamonds last week and got done 4-0. They were 0-0 at halftime, and they could have had a goal through Majok, who potentially was onside, but it wasn't to be. They got 4 in the second half, totally destroyed. 10-3. I think it was a case of Janjevic didn't have too much to do with the goals. But they're probably not going to make it out of their group. They just got done 4-0 at home on the first day. Unless they can turn it around quickly, you'd think it's another Australian team out of the Champions League.
Yeah, no, they're not getting out of the group. Fair shit.
Yeah, fair enough. They have to travel tonight to Shanghai. Well, they would have already travelled there. They're $8.50 to get the win on Sportsbet and Bet365. they've never played against each other, so
it'd be interesting to see how Oscar goes
and Ramirez. Mm. It's going to be
and Hulk
and Elkerson. Fuck, they're fucked.
Yeah, good luck. Wait, why can't you bet on Shanghai?
I don't know.
On my app, it's coming up with $8.50 for Western Sydney, $5 for a draw, and it's not giving me any odds for Shanghai.
You know what I will do? I'm just going to scurry across to Sportsbet now and have a sneaky look. Shanghai paying $1.30. If you think all the Asian teams are going to beat us tonight, you can put them all in a multi and get $4.02.
Yeah, doing it.
I think that's a very good multi. URA Red Diamonds. So, no, wait, my bad. URA Red Diamonds are hosting FC Seoul.
FC Seoul, mate.
FC Seoul. I'm so done. Adelaide. Yeah, whatever. Fuck it. Let's just go on to the A-League. I'm so bad with these pronunciations. We'll go on. Sydney FC host Melbourne Victory Friday night. Massive game. I can watch it because I have no commitments. Thank goodness. Sorry, Jake. Sydney's going to win, in my opinion.
Yeah, Sydney won.
Yeah, I know you'd say that. What's next? Wellington Phoenix hosting Perth Glory. Ooh, interesting game. I can't tell you a winner for this game because Wellington just travelled to Brisbane and won, and they're not too bad at home. Perth Glory don't travel very well, but they're playing really good football. So, draw, maybe? Let's go with the draw, Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're so bad at predictions. Last week, like, none of our predictions came off.
Literally none. Not one. Like, oh, you tipped victory to beat Adelaide, and I obviously said Adelaide to win.
I tipped victory and Perth. And then we said Newcastle would win. They drew.
I said Western Sydney would get a draw in Perth.
We said Brisbane would win. They lost. We said City would win. They lost. So if you put that multi on, you would have lost, even though it was paying a very decent, like, $70. Western Sydney host Adelaide United. Western Sydney will win this one.
Didn't we say we'd get onto that as well?
Yeah, we didn't.
We were going up and about saying we'd get onto that.
Only half of it came off, not even. Western Sydney host Adelaide. Look, Adelaide need to win, but according to you, they won't. I'm going to go Adelaide's going to win, Jake.
They're fine.
Western Sydney.
I think they'll get a draw. I think both teams are going to out-bad each other. They've both got Champions League commitments as well. And yeah, I think it's just going to be one of those ones where I'm actually going to watch this game because I think there'll be a lot of young players playing, which will be good to see because I reckon a lot of players will be a bit cooked from Champions League, so they'll play a bit of youth. So yeah, I reckon it'll be a 1-1 draw, Dawn.
I will also partake in the viewing of this game. Central Coast Mariners host Melbourne City. In the first game on a Sunday, we've got two games on Sunday this week, great. Central Coast going to win, Jake?
Nah, I reckon it'll be a draw as well. I think City are in that weird position where they're playing well when they've got 11 players on the pitch. And I think Central Coast are trying to get over that line where they're trying to turn their decent performances into 3 points. But yeah, I think it'll be one of those. It'll be a good game to watch, but yeah, it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
A lot of goals in this one, I reckon.
Which one? I thought you were talking the next game. I thought that's how you were going to...
This isn't going to have many goals. Newcastle hosting Brisbane. yeah, look. Interesting game. Brisbane travel to Olsen Hyundai, whatever. I think that's Korea. That's what we said before. So they're traveling there midweek or tonight. They're playing. Newcastle Jets have a week off to prepare for this one. I don't know. This one would be a draw as well, to be honest. Although I hope Newcastle get up.
No, it could be a draw. I can. Newcastle dominate most of the game, but I think Brisbane have a good enough team to fight out a point.
Interestingly enough, the last time these two teams played each other in Brisbane was when Newcastle ended the streak. So that was good. 3-2 win. The Brisbane's unbeaten home run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that game, actually, yeah.
3-2.
Yeah.
Nordstrom popped up Newcastle after failing Theo. Look, that's all. That's all we're going to cover today, Jake. We did really well today in the review. We did a big discussion on the review. It took about like 40 minutes to get through the review. I love that.
That's cute.
Makes me happy.
My scores are grey.
I know what that means.
You'll never know, dear, how much I love you, so please don't take my sunshine away.
All right. Well, we'll be back on Friday with the Everything EPL potty. Until then, though, Jake.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world. I'm on top of the world.